I'm listening to the show every morning, and you can say it's grand. It's not grand if you're not on it, though.
OTB's Mount Rushmore.
Some talent in Cork, isn't there? Wow. A few of the GAA boys weren't happy, but it was my sporting hero. I was contesting, I think, against Jimmy Barry Murphy. So once you're in that company, everything is good.
Join the debate across all our social channels at Off the Ball.
It's very, very special. Believe me, I think it becomes more special when you're on the coach, because it's something, unfortunately, inside me that's ultra competitive, and I need to be there.
Catch the live decision-making over the next few months on OTB AM on the OTB Podcast Network. The OTB Podcast Network.
You ain't shit!
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
But fans can be the harshest critics, you know.
And they often are.
A wife is often the harshest critic of her husband.
I thought I was invincible. That's what you're trained to believe as a sports person.
There was 4 million people in Ireland who knew much more about managing football teams than I did. When it comes to music, I can spoof at the best.
Your sporting career is the best time you'll have, and, you know, you have to hang on to it for as long as your life, because everything else is pretty crappy.
And this is not like Stephen Rothschild has never spoken to Jimmy McGuinness in his life.
And you're welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5 o'clock. You can text us on 53106. We're also streaming live as well. You can watch us now on the Off the Ball social channels for Periscope, on Twitter, at Off the Ball, on YouTube and on Facebook. And this weekend, Cork and Kerry should have been meeting in the Munster Senior Football Championship, but who knows when a Gaelic football will be kicked in anger again because of COVID-19. Instead, we're going to talk over the next hour about one of Ireland's most famous sporting rivalries, with two legends of the game, All-Ireland winners, Munster champions, Kerry's Darren O'Sullivan and Cork's Daniel Goulding. Gents, how are we getting on?
Good. How are things, boys?
Yeah, good, good, Darren.
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good, lads. Good, Darren and Daniel. Hope you're well. So, Darren, 2009, you're Kerry's All-Ireland winning captain. And a year later, Daniel, you're kicking 9 points in the All-Ireland final. And when you're thinking of Cork and Kerry and great days, and there's so many matches between, say, 2005 and 2010, what mattered to you back then, and what matters the most about this great rivalry?
Who goes first here?
Don't be shy.
Drive on, Darren.
for me, anyway, it was just about don't lose. Donegal, there's so many Cork people down there for the summer, and you're meeting them every day. It was just trying to avoid defeat. Like, I was in college in Cork. I was actually in college with Daniel. We were in playing freshers team together. So a lot of it for me was just don't lose to them. Don't have to listen to them for the year. But it was one of the most intense rivalries I would have had anyway.
Yeah, I think so. Look, from my point of view, and probably Cork's point of view, not only beating Kerry, but we were on the road to trying to win an All-Ireland for 4 or 5 years, and invariably every year you'd have to get through Kerry to get there, even twice, possibly. And I suppose we always had the bit of inferior complex in the county, because I suppose you're going out to Clarny and you don't win there too often. And I suppose it was the game to play in every year. And I actually never won down in Clarny. A lot of draws, a couple of shaky refereeing decisions, but I suppose if you ask me, was it more important to win in Clarny or win the All-Ireland, I'd have still taken the All-Ireland. So at the end of the day, it was still probably the All-Ireland in my mind that was the most important thing. But as I said, like, beating Kerry down there or in Páirc Uí was one of the biggest stepping stones to getting there.
Darren, he's got an early dig in you there. When you were a young lad, Darren, I think a lot of people, some people might know, you were playing for QPR in London. And did the whole Cork-Kerry kind of rivalry as a young lad pass you by? Did you know about the legends? And for you, Daniel, with Aoire Óg there down in Ovens, was it really completely immersed in your community at the time?
For me, I suppose, like, I would have been watching from a distance. My father would have, I suppose, taught me all the way along the rivalry or whatever. And like I said, being in Glenbeigh is practically Cork in the summer. I'd have been over every summer, and we'd always be playing soccer or playing Gaelic football over on the pitch with all the Cork lads and the Glenbeigh lads. So we had our own rivalry built up. down in Glenbeigh for the summers with the Cork lads. So it was always natural, you know. I knew about it from my father telling me, and then moving back to Glenbeigh and just being around the summers with the Cork lads, it always added a bit of bite in the summer there, coming up to a Munster final.
Yeah, it's funny because my club is, back then, was predominantly a hurling club, and I suppose Ovens is a suburb of the Ballincollig in the city, so there was an influx of Kerry men came into the club, and they did some great work there, and football started picking up there. And I suppose by the time I was 11 or 12, we were strong in both codes, and then I was fortunate enough to start playing primary game, and I played in 99 against Kerry down the park before the Munster senior football final, and that really kind of took it, kind of lit a fire under me to start taking GAA really seriously. Cork won that day, and I got to run onto the pitch after, and I can always remember looking at the Sunday game that night, and I was running around the place after behind Larry Tompkins celebrating, and I suppose from there the fire was lit for me. And I suppose you went through underage then, and fortunate enough to get on Cork under 14, 16 teams, and obviously Kerry was the game every single year, and I suppose that's what you were getting ready for every year.
And 99 was knockout still as well, Daniel.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it would have been knockout back then as well. I suppose Kerry probably knocked Cork out more often than not, but like every year you beat Kerry back then, you had a great chance of getting to the All-Ireland final. You look at 93, 99. I think the qualifiers, we met Kerry again, and Cork beat them in 2002, and then came back and lost to them in the semi-final in 2002 in Croke Park. I was at both those games, and there were great days, and the trips down to Killarney and watching Ireland play Spain in the World Cup in 2002, and then seeing the draw after and the lashing rain, I'll never forget those days.
Well, Daniel, you're going to have to keep listening, because 2002 is our World Cup feature year today, and there'd be a lot of upset about Saipan and about the Republic of Ireland against Spain when we should have won in extra time when they were down to 10. Lads, growing up, heroes, was it Maurice Fitz? Was it Colin Corkery? Who were the people on the bedroom wall?
I suppose over in London, it was more Ryan Giggs and David Beckham than Maurice Fitz at the start. But, you know, when I moved back and I started to come back more and more often, it would have been Mike Frank for me. Obviously, I loved Maurice Fitz, but Mike Frank was only in the road from me, and we had the Hassets. So they would have been the fellas, because I could just see them whenever I was going into Clorgan or something like that. You know, they were, you know, the people that you could see in the street. So for me, it was the likes of Mike Frank and the Hassets. You know, they were just so close.
Yeah, it's funny, actually, Giggs and David Beckham would have played a big part in my childhood as well. But yeah, Corkery, I suppose Colin Corkery would have been the main one of my time. I was a bit too young for Larry Tompkins, and I'd have watched the videos back of the 89 and 90 final. But I suppose there was something just so easy about watching Colin Corkery play, swinging frees off the ground, off left and right, and just his ability to manoeuvre the ball and just do what he wanted with the ball. Like, he was a really special footballer, and he used to always have the Adidas Predators with the shamrock on him, or you remember for Nemo in the All-Ireland final. There was always something just quirky and really gifted about him as a footballer, and he was always great to watch.
The minor set up, lads, did you cross paths in minor?
Yeah, we'd have been the same age. I think we won the Munster final in our good year, but the minor wasn't too bad for me.
Yeah. I lost twice to Kerry in minor, one after a replay. I think we played Limerick. I think that was your year, Darren. I'm not sure we were there the first year, were you?
No, I wasn't on the panel until later.
Brian Sheehan would have been playing the first year. So, yeah, and then I think kind of the roles reversed in under 21. We'd have had the upper hand in 21 then.
Yeah, I didn't win a game under 21 because of you.
Yeah. So I suppose that kind of same, from my point of view, that group of players kind of carried all the way from minor to 21 to senior. There was Hugh Fintan Gould, Michael Shields, those kind of fellas. And that team formed a kind of a big nucleus of the senior team then for a while.
When you're both playing, say, NCIT lads together, does that kind of cool a rivalry? You get to know each other, your teammates, and then when you see each other on Munster final day, it's not as, well, who are you?
I, th- I don't think so, to be honest. I suppose we were opposite end of the field anyway, so we wouldn't have been coming across each other a whole pile, Kerry Cork. But I was in Cork for 2 years, but and you get on with fellas, but we wouldn't have been ringing or texting each other. I think that's kind of happened more so in recent years, that players are closer to other in the county players. I personally wasn't like I had issues with anyone or anything. I stuck to my Kerry gang. I was very clannish or something, but I think you'd get on with fellas in the dressing room, but I never really hung out with anyone bar my Kerry mates.
Yeah, I suppose when I say absolutely, it would be more so that we actually talked to each other. I suppose Darren and Brian, I played with them, Darren for 2 years, Brian for more, but it was still good crack in the dressing room, and you know, it wasn't that awkward, considering I probably never have talked to the Kerry lads only for CIT during that period. No, I suppose we did get the upper hand in a month. I'll always remember we lost the Sigerson game up in Athlone, and there was cans of beer on the bus on the way down, and there was a card game going on. Dunica O'Connor was in charge of the AC Ducey, and he was reddening the two Kerry lads, Brian and Darren, and they never knew it. He was fiddling with the cards.
Better find out later than ever.
He took a lot of cash off him. It was the one time we got a bit of an upper hand in them.
I hope it wasn't like a Michael Jordan now in The Last Dance, lads, where it's we're talking about millions here, you know?
If somebody's
a shark. But the first ever championship match you played for senior county, inter-county lads, for Cork and for Kerry, what was it like the first time you lined out in a rival match, say, might have been 05, might have been 06? Was it nervous? Were you anxious? Were you getting support from your teammates? What was the whole build-up and atmosphere around, say, Porky Cueve or Killarney, the first day you met the Kingdom or the Rebels?
For me, it was 2005. I had been brought in early by Jack for training all year, but he'd actually told me to get a couple of games with the juniors just to get used to the senior and get hit by fellas and stuff like that. But I played in the Munster Junior, and before the Munster Final, he rang me to say, look, I want you on the squad for the game Sunday. So my first game was actually the Munster Final in Cork. And I don't remember much about the game. I just remember the heat being absolutely roasting. Kerry won that day. And the one thing I always remember is Aidan Mahoney after the game just coming up to me, making sure he had my mobile number so we'd meet up going out that night. But other than that, it's a bit of a blur. I just remember warming up in that old tracksuit, the old kind of windcheater, and the sweat absolutely hopping off me. But it was just more, I was like a kid. I was a child, just giddy with excitement just to be sitting there. I knew it wouldn't be coming on, but just to be there and to be around the whole buzz and the excitement of it meant massive for me.
Yeah, I suppose my first, at a senior level, was the All-Ireland Final in 2007. My first game I ever started with Cork was the semi-final against Meade. James Masters had broke his jaw, so I was in instead of him, and James got back for the final. So I came on at half-time, and I suppose the game, there was only 2 points in it, the game was in the melting pot, and within a blink of an eye, we were down 7 or 8 points. So it was a bit of a surreal experience. And I remember we got a 45, and Derek Kavanagh says, just put that over now and get it started again. And of course, I put it straight wide. So that was my first that was my first confidence builder. But actually did okay after that. Got a goal and a couple of points. But it was a bit surreal coming into a game that was over within a couple of minutes out of nowhere. And I suppose then you started heading down to Killarney after that. And generally, always a roasting hot day.
Yeah.
And a dead air. There was never really a wind there. There was a dead heat and a kind of just a buzz around the place. And we had some great battles down there. And a lot of the time coming back up to Parky Cueve then as well after, because of the replays. And look, there were great times crossing the county bounds on the bus on the way down and stopping off to eat and meeting Cork fans. And yeah, we're very, very lucky to be part of that group that got to go down there and be so competitive every year.
Yeah, so two games in 05, three in 06, two in 07, three in 08, three in 09, two in 2010. You must have been sick of each other by that stage. To me, Cork Kerry is really about, really a lot of it's about the supporters and the journey and the occasion and going to Clonmany for Cork fans and going to Porky Cree for Kerry fans. Would you feel that that's the way it's like, lads? It's really about the supporters and the characters that you meet and the stories. And if you're a Cork fan, you win in Clonmany, you might stay a few days. If you're a Kerry fan, you raided it across the border and you brought back the Munster Cup again.
Yeah, I suppose I never got to bring the cup back over the border. It was always in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, any Munster final we beat Kerry in, and I suppose the amount of times coming back there after getting a draw and kind of being confident we could take them in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, that's what I probably remember most going down there. But like, they were very intense rivalries. We'd a knack as well of going down to Clonmany underperforming for 40, 50 minutes and then the next thing coming out of nowhere with 20 minutes left and getting a draw out of it. And like, I suppose in the back of our minds, we always thought we were as good as Kerry, but we never just got over the line down there. There was a couple of very close years, and a couple of times then we brought him back to Páirc Uí Chaoimh and won handy. And I suppose it just shows what a fortress it was down there for them and how good they were down there and how hard they were to beat down there.
Was there an underdog mentality? Was there any feeling of inferiority, Daniel, about being a core player against Kerry?
No, there was never inferiority, but I suppose there was always a bit of underdog mentality, and I suppose we tried to use that to our benefit. And I suppose it was funny, like, for not having won down there, like, we had some crazy good games, and like, the amount of draws, as I said, like, it was like, I wouldn't say it was an inferiority complex, we just never seemed to get over the line in the last minute or two. And like, with all the might we tried, like, I remember 2015 or 16, it was a Fionn Fitzgerald's kick, like, that he was passing it and it sailed over the bar to get a draw. And look, we just never got the rubber green in the last couple of minutes down there. And I suppose it was a sign of how good that Kerry team were down there as well. They just knew every single piece of that pitch, and I suppose with the fans behind them, a packed house, it was always a very big challenge to beat them down there.
Darren, I hear you laughing in the background there.
Yeah, Fionn definitely didn't mean that point.
Yeah,
he's still claiming he did, but no way.
That was not how he meant that.
Was there much sledging in games, lads?
I wouldn't have got involved the whole pile with it. And the Cork lads I would have been marking wouldn't really, I suppose, for me as a forward, like, especially when I was out in the half forward line, you know, you'd be up against John Miskell, Paddy Cassan, Noel O'Leary, and to Lynch. And the reason why I wouldn't get involved was because they were so attacking and you were so afraid that they could go up and kick 2 or 3 points any game. So you were too busy concentrating on doing a bit of damage the other way or trying to save your energy and save your breath for chasing them up and down the field than you would be talking rubbish.
Yeah, I was the same. Like, I'd have marked Tom Sullivan, Mark O'Shea, Padraig Greedy a lot. There was, like, generally, there's no sledging from the forward, really, but from their point of view, they just were good man markers. Never had to kind of go into that kind of carry-on. So when I was listening to Tomás and Noel Leary last night, they were doing a podcast, and Noel said, like, all the rumours that what himself and Galvin you say to each other, he said the same thing. He said they only played football, they were tough, and they'd have a few skilps off each other, but, like, there was never moting.
Yeah. Kerry versus Cork 1987. Kerry going for 4 All-Irelands in a row for the second time. Mikey Sheehy, last minute goal in Cork. Billy Morgan banging the ground behind the goals in despair. Class. That is on 53106. We're talking about the Cork and Kerry rivalry. But any GA rivalries, if you want to chip in on 53106 or add off the ball on Twitter. But Cork and Kerry, to me, it's always about those fans crossing the borders and, like, being a Clonmany or Porky Cueve in those great days. And then, lads, you'd meet in the All-Ireland finals. It was such a novelty, I suppose, for Cork and Kerry to be playing in an All-Ireland final, the first one in 07, once they had the back door and the new system of qualifiers. It was a real novelty back then.
Yeah, I suppose, like Daniel was saying, the Munster Championship was tit for tat, always, every year. The only thing with Donny Clonmany was we were so proud of that record. I think it's 20-odd years since we'd lost in Fisher Stadium. But whatever it was about Croke Park, I always felt that we were a different team going up there. I don't know why, but I was always more confident playing Cork in the All-Ireland series than I would have been in the Munster Championship. Munster Championship was very much a seesaw kind of relationship we had with him. It could go either way.
Yeah, I suppose 07 for me, I suppose the whole thing was so new to me. It was just being in a bubble of playing in an All-Ireland final. Like, the fact it was Kerry, obviously, had a bit of added spice, but at the same time, it was an All-Ireland senior football final, and it was a very new experience for me, I suppose. 08 then, we went to replay and lost by a point up there. And 09 then, obviously, Kerry won as well. And I actually think we probably played better up in Croke Park against Kerry than we did down in Clarny as well. And I suppose probably 09 was the most disappointing when we played great football all year. I suppose we played better football in 09 than we did in 010. And we were really coming, and we started great in the final as well. And I suppose the experience of Kerry kind of told, and they got back into it, and kind of when the game was there to be won, they played all the football, and we had a couple of bad wides that probably cost us. And I suppose that was the most disappointing one for me, because I suppose we had been really, really lifting. We'd beaten the All-Ireland champions Tyrone in the semi-final, and I suppose that 09 final was a very hard one to get over.
And that was the one you captained, Darren?
Yeah, so obviously it was a special one for me, and it was another one of them games, whatever, about being All-Ireland final, but to captain Kerry against the biggest rivals we have, Cork, it was one of them ones you don't want to be losing and carrying that for the rest of your life.
Yeah, we're speaking to Darren O'Sullivan here and Daniel Gould in on the Saturday panel about Cork against Kerry, the great Munster football rivalry, meant to be meeting this weekend. Of course, they're not playing because of the COVID-19 pandemic, but reminiscing on some great battles they had especially between 2005 and 2010. We're also going to speak about maybe the return of GAA. Should you have matches behind closed doors? Should you have GAA facilities open? And then reminiscing some of the great days between Cork and Kerry. After the news, Darren O'Sullivan and Daniel Goulding on 531060. You can text us, and we're back after this with Off the Ball Saturday.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
And this is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to 5 o'clock. You can text us on 53106. You can tweet us at Off the Ball. We're streaming live as well now. You can watch us on the Off the Ball social channels for Periscope, on Twitter, at Off the Ball, on YouTube and on Facebook. And this week's Saturday panel dedicated to the Cork against Kerry Gaelic football rivalry. So many great matches down through the years. I remember Tadhg Murphy in 1983, Jimmy Barry in 76, Dinny Allen and Paddy O'Shea having a few scalps off each other in the 70s, and it's been a great rivalry for crowds, Santa Clarny, Porky Queeve, and also great matches at Croke Park in the last two decades. So we're joined by two former All-Ireland winners and Munster winners, Cork's Daniel Goulding and Kerry's Darren O'Sullivan on the show. Lads, you met so many times. Was it the case that Jack O'Connor and Conor Coonahan would be, you know, rising you, getting you to take the door off the hinges and really saying that, look, it's about the neighbours and the rivals, or was it a bit more relaxed than that?
No, I think we saw each other so often. Yeah. There was no real need to say anything half the times going into these games. Like, we guaranteed you were definitely going to play each other twice every year. And as Daniel said, a lot of the times you'd end up playing each other three times. And more often than not, you'd have to beat them twice in championship to win an All-Ireland.
Yeah, we were the same. That was never really Conor's style anyway. I suppose for us, it was all about performing. And, you know, everyone doing their job on the day, and, like, you didn't need to get up for the game. If you weren't up for the game, regardless, there was probably something wrong. You shouldn't have been there anyway. So it was all about trying to perform. And I suppose, as Darren said, we knew each other so well, like, getting the performance and actually doing what you're supposed to do was the key thing.
And that was the key thing for you, wasn't it, Daniel, in the 2010 final? It was a lot about process for you. I know it wasn't against Kerry, but you kicked 9 points, and effectively you took Croke Park out of the situation there against Down.
Yeah, look, I suppose I'd have missed a couple of frees in the 09 final, and I suppose I did a lot of work from that point on. Kevin Clancy, he would have been our head guru at the time, and kind of taking the scoreboard and, I suppose, the scenario to the scene and essentially break it down to kicking a ball and kick it the same way every time. And I suppose that's what I was doing for my frees. But the same thing applies playing the game. I suppose generally you have three or four things that you need to do, and the better you can do them, and if the team can do all their three or four tasks as well as possible, you've a great chance of performing. And I suppose that's what we looked at the end of the day. I suppose the added spice, of course, that there was Kerry there, but you can get caught up in that too. And if you start thinking about, oh, you have to kind of get physical and tear into this crowd, you kind of lose sight of what you really need to do. And I suppose there needs to be a healthy balance there.
It did happen, I suppose. Ty Kennelly, Nicholas Murphy, Paulo Galvin, Noel Leary sent off in matches. Did you feel the edge, lads? Did you feel that in a final, that you had the county on your shoulders in any way?
No, I think the battles you named out there, like everyone went out with their own individual battle. Like, you were playing each other guaranteed two or three times a year, so you knew each other very well. You kind of had, you'd be 90% certain who you were going to be marking a week or two out. And it came down to, a lot of it was just 15 one-on-one battles. Like, if you win your battle, you're going to, it's a good percentage of the job done. Like, so, like, that's all it was really for me going in. You'd be focused on your own individual performance. As Daniel said, if I can get on ball here, if I can cause him trouble, I'll be helping us win.
So who are your most regular opponents then when you were playing attacking football?
I was always, I was nearly always marking Padraig Reedy from minor to my first couple of years as a senior. He's from Scarf to Glen. Marked him minor, marked him under 21, marked him the day in Crow Park, my first game. And then I kind of moved on to Tom O'Sullivan. And I had a good few battles with Tom and Mark as well. And like, I suppose the thing about intercounty football, and one of the things I didn't like, is if you lost the ball or you didn't win it and your man won it, they could do damage. And Mark and Tom loved going up the pitch, and I suppose that was one of the parts of the game I hated. But I suppose, like, they were all good footballers and they all prided themselves on man marking, and like, you'd have to be really on your game to get the ball first and then take him on and score. And like, the, I suppose when you look back at it now, you might have taken it for granted, but it was a really high level of football that the both teams were playing for a sustained period of time, and it was something really, really good to be part of.
And Darren, who were your opposing numbers?
I suppose I kind of drifted around the forward line. I could be inside or outside. I would have marked Cadigan a good bit when I was more inside. And when I was outside, a lot of it was kind of either Miskela or Noel O'Leary, Paddy Cassan. And being honest, a lot of it was, you just start going, I need to get on ball here. Because as Daniel said, the boys were mad for going forward as well. And you could end up spending the whole game chasing the Cork lads going forward. And you'd end up the game passing you by. And I did find that mentally going into the games, especially if you're playing wing forward, that I had to try and stop myself thinking about who I was marking, because obviously they were so dangerous going forward. There could be 20 minutes, half an hour gone, and you might have done nothing, only chase him around the field. You know, it was a bit of a mental battle going into it, that you could focus on your own job rather than curtailing somebody else.
53106 for your text messages and off the ball on Twitter here. We're talking about Cork and Kerry. Have to laugh when I hear the Kerry fans coming up to Porky Cueve. Those fellas don't move outside the county until All-Ireland final day. And even then, they bring the packed lunches. That is from Simon in Cork. Meath versus Louth, the bitter rivalry, even well before 2010. Louth tried to target Bernard Flynn in the 1988 match, and Meath didn't forget it. Louth v Meath would be a lot more bitter than Meath v Dublin or Kildare. Between 05 and 10, the only team to beat Cork was Kerry in the championship. Unbelievable bad luck to be a Cork man in Kerry at the time. John, can you ask Daniel how good was Billy Morgan as a manager, and Darren about Jack O'Connor? So first, Dan, on Billy Morgan.
I suppose there's not enough words to describe Billy. He was, as a Cork legend, and I suppose as a player and obviously as a manager, he was unbelievable. His passion for Cork football was amazing. Like, he gave us a speech the night before the 07 final. It's probably one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard. He'd half the room in tears with the pride he spoke about Cork and what winning this All-Ireland would do for Cork. And what he also did is he kind of, this was my first setup in the senior when I went in with Billy, and you could just see even from minor to 21, like, he bought a level of professionalism back into kind of the senior into county setup. He'd strength and conditioning coaches, he'd dietitians. He was probably a bit ahead of his time, And it was a brilliant setup to be in. And obviously he had a lot of great players in there as well. Some of the older lads like your Graham Canties and Knowleys, and they had huge respect for each other. And it really was a great setup to be part of.
He's walked the walk, hasn't he? He's talked the talk and walked the walk, Billy, back from, like, say, 1973, the goalkeeper, to the late 80s when they broke the Kerry stranglehold on Munster and Ireland when they had the knockout, and then given a speech. Was he an easy man to talk to about tactics, Daniel? Was he somebody that you could just have a chat to and get a sense of what you needed to do?
Billy was, for me, going in there, I was probably a bit afraid of him. Because he was such an icon and he was so passionate and fiery, but like at the same time he was still very approachable. Suppose the best compliment you can give for Billy is that all the Kerry lads love him, and like when they go into UCC they really play for him, and he's after winning numerous Sigerson's with a lot of Kerry lads on the Cork team, and like his football knowledge and his ability to get every player to really buy into what he wants to do is. Like, he's one of the best in the business, and the fact that he's still involved with Nemo and UCC, it just, like, his passion for the game is, like, I don't think there's too many people in the country have it.
And Jack brought you in, didn't he, Darren?
Yeah, Jack brought me in 2005 straight from minors. So, like, obviously, I'd always have a soft spot for Jack, you know, to bring in somebody like myself. You know, I was from a small club. I wasn't a big physical player. He brought me in. He gave me my debut in the All-Ireland final when we were chasing the game. He gave me the captaincy. I don't think he gets the respect he maybe deserves for what he did with us.
Why not?
I think Daniel mentioned, I don't know. I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, we had great players. But great players don't necessarily make a great team. And obviously, we had amazing players around the place, but sometimes that's the hardest teams to win with, you know, when you have so many individuals. But we had a great collective unit, you know. You had fellas who would easily go out and play their natural game, which could be playmaking or going for scores. But everyone adjusted their game and their roles to make sure it was a team, kind of team collective unit. You know, you had fellas leaving other fellas do certain jobs to do something else, track back the likes of Galvin there. Galvin could have been centre forward doing playmaker, kicking scores, but he knew his role was to win breaks and set up the likes of Gooch and Declan and fellas. And I think that's a lot of that's down to Jack as well, you know, and I don't think he gets the credit for it.
So what's happened a bit in the last few years, guys? It was so intense and so brilliant between, say, 05 and 10, that rivalry between Kerry and Cork, which broke onto Croke Park. Bit of a few barren years for Cork. Daniel, could you put your finger on it, and do you think there's a comeback now on the cards?
Yeah, I suppose my view of what happened is probably we lost a couple of our big leaders due to retirement or, I suppose, not being on the panel anymore, and the culture and the dynamic of the group really changed quite quickly from maybe 14, 15, 16. I suppose you were missing your Graham Cantonese, your Noel Larrys, Paddy Sands, all these fellas. And it was a much younger group. And I suppose the culture did shift. I've probably spoken about it previously. I know Dunica would have said it. And we weren't probably invested enough in being inter-county footballers for Cork. And I suppose we got some good trimmings off Kerry. And it probably just knocked the confidence of the county. And I think, in fairness, Rowan and Noel has kind of... you can see the culture and the kind of attitude is coming back into the group of, like, if you want to play football with Cork, like, nothing else matters. And I think they're on the right curve. It's probably a pity with this pandemic that their progress has probably been halted a bit. But I think, like, what happened last year up in, like, playing well against Dublin, Tyrone up in the Super 8s and getting to the Super 8s, like, I think Cork are on the right path again. And so has put up a very good performance against Kerry in the Munster final again. And like, you'd hope that now, I suppose, there's a lot of good players there. There's a lot of good players coming through minor 21. Probably take a few years, but I think definitely if the culture is maintained the way it is and the 30 players representing Cork want to be the best they can be, they'll have a serious chance of getting back to All-Ireland semi-finals and finals again.
Were you very sore after the Dubs match last September, Darren? Kerry are coming as well, but just not at the All-Ireland level yet.
Yeah, I suppose it was just disappointing. I just felt in the first game, especially if we had a bit more experience on the bench, we would have got over the line. They were very close. Now, at the same time, I thought, you know, for the year that was in, I thought they overachieved. But as the year went on, they just kept progressing. But it was the first, like the All-Ireland final, the first game was the first time I was sitting there just thinking, geez, if so many of us didn't retire at the same time, there was an All-Ireland there to be won. I just felt that, you know, obviously James Dunne was actually out of the first game. He was just back from injury. Oh, just someone like that to come on, I just felt that we could have pipped it.
We're talking about the pandemic there, Daniel. GA returning, John Horan's been very clear that he can't see it without social distancing being eased, or if social distancing exists still, it's very hard to see GA returning. What's your whole view on the return of the game, lads?
I'd probably agree with him, to be fair. If social distancing is in place, it means that there's an acceptable risk there for the public to go back as normal. And I suppose there's nothing closer than two lads marking each other in the corner of a pitch, or kind of like, I don't think the issue is the fans. I think the issue is the 15 players in both teams and the panels and being around kind of that setup. And I suppose until the risk is acceptable to go back without social distancing, I'd be inclined to agree that you can't do it.
And Darren, would you be the similar view?
Yeah, I think so. I'm 100% the same. Like I have a bar restaurant down in Glenbeigh, down Rossby Beach, and we're currently trying to move tables and chairs around the place to social distance. And how can you expect to social distance on a field? Do you know, you're expecting everyone to do it in everyday life, yet Daniel will tell you now, being in the corner, being cornerback, pulling and dragging off you, it's fairly hard to social distance out in the pitch.
You delivering pints yet?
No, not yet. We might have to.
You're also involved in a bit of fitness work, I think, as well, Darren, aren't you?
Yeah, so, like, obviously, the bar restaurant is seasonal, so our season hasn't started yet because of this, but Max Sport in Dublin, I cover, well, Munster and mostly GA-related, so I suppose when I started, my job normally on the road, so I wasn't really travelling, but my phone was hopping, equipment flying out. So I saw from both sides. I saw a company getting busy, and I saw another company just totally closing up. But like obviously Max Sport, it's a lot of commercial as well. So I think people get a bit deceived as well. They'd see people buying stuff for home equipment and stuff like that. But obviously we deal a lot with the commercial gyms and hotels, which are closed. So I don't know. It can be tough enough. So hopefully they can find a way around it.
And as well, Daniel, you're working from home as well at the moment, I think, with engineering. Are you finding it difficult to keep fit? How's the skills going? Are you doing some skills in the back garden?
Yeah, I'm in Gas Networks Ireland, so it's kind of project management engineering based. So I'm at home on the laptop and trying to mind my 18-month-old at the same time. So it's a good old juggling act. Keeping fit enough, to be honest. Paddy Cassan is our coach with the club at home, Mayor Og, so he's kept us busy.
Is he giving you a hard time on Zoom, is he?
He doesn't do the Zoom, it's all WhatsApp, but what it does do is it gives you great focus. In fairness, you get your two or three pieces of work to do a week, and then that's you're done for the week, and you don't have to worry about anything else about keeping fit. The skills bit is a bit harder, I think, to be fair, until we know when we're coming back. I suppose it's just generally you're nearly training to train just to be ready to be fit when you come back training. Kick a ball off a wall and poke a ball off a wall, but that's about it.
Bernard Brogan was on Twitter yesterday, an interesting tweet. This playing behind closed doors debate is baffling me. Fans are obviously amazing. I loved every drop of atmosphere they created, but I would take your hand off to represent my county again, spectators or not. We play because we love the game. End of. Am I missing something? Behind closed doors games, lads?
Not for me. My thing is, like, when I'm just looking at the Kerry side of it, I was there. If Kerry were playing someone behind closed doors, everyone would know where it's on, and you can guarantee there'd be a few out there trying to get a glimpse of David Clifford or Shawnee Shea coming out the gate after. I just don't think it's for me, and I think, like Daniel said, I don't think it's the supporters. Like, you players, you don't know what their personal circumstances are, and they're going to be shoulder to shoulder and pulling and dragging out of someone, and they don't know where they've been either. So it's just not for me.
Yeah, I suppose if I'd agree with Darren. If you gave it to me that I could play club championship in 4 months' time behind closed doors, I'd bite your hand off. But at the same time, there's obviously still social distancing in place if it's behind closed doors. So the 2 meter rule or whatever rule it is will still exist. So again, it's the 30 players and the setups are at risk. So I don't know how, unless you go, it's not a professional sport like you see with the soccer clubs, and even there you see a lot of those, say Kent, you know, for Chelsea isn't going to play the rest of the season, he's saying. So like, until the risk is acceptable for everyone, I don't see how you can do it.
5-3-1-6, lads, I was at the opening of Porky Cueve in 1976. Munster final was played that day. No crowd control. Lads poking the heads off each other on the pitch. No one died. Cork were robbed. Great days from Finbar in Dublin. Can you ask the lads who were the best players they played against on the Cork-Kerry teams at the time, and should the provincial championships be scrapped?
For me, I Dunnock O'Connor was, no, I'd never marked him or anything like that, but because he was so close to the border, I always felt that it meant an awful lot to him, and he was just always a bit of a pain for us, you know. He was a serious operator. But in terms of the backs, you could name 5 or 6 of them, and I'd agree with all of them. You know, the likes of John Miskela there, nightmare to mark, because he was up and down, and Danny will probably tell you he was incredibly fit. I don't think he ever got tired. But the Munster Championship, when we were playing, like, you know, from 2005 to 10, 11, 12, it was hard to beat a Munster final. The atmosphere, you know, like, obviously down in Clarny, just the crowd, you know, the stadium is so close to the town, and people, you just walk up from the train station. If you could get them atmosphere and that kind of games going again, I'd say never scrap it. But at the last couple of years, it hasn't been great, to be fair.
Yeah, I suppose in terms of marking players, I suppose Tom O'Sullivan and Mark O'Shea were the two I'd have marked the most. And so Tom had crazy speed, and he's funny. I've had some great battles with Tom. Some days I could do very well, and other days he wouldn't give you a sniff. And I think when he was really clued in to his job, he was hard to beat. Mark, then again, the same. Mark was always on, as always kind of playing at his potential, and another very hard fellow to mark. I suppose there were great games, and I suppose every day you'd have someone different would step up, and that's what made them so good. Like, you'd have Colin Cooper would step up, or Owen Brosnan would bang in a goal. Same way Dunica would step up for us, and the next day Pierce O'Neill could get a goal. It was just, and that's what made those battles so great, and I suppose so hard for teams to prepare against each other. Then that there was just danger from everywhere from an attacking perspective. In terms of the Munster Championship, then yeah, it's probably lost a bit of its identity, and I think a lot of the issue is that the top 3 or 4 teams are they're kind of streets ahead of everyone else, and I think it's not just the Munster Championship bar Ulster, I think it's the same problem nearly everywhere, and I'm not quite sure what the answer is. Talks about splitting championships has been thrown up a good bit and could be on its way, and I suppose when you look at the National League, that's still probably the most competitive competition we have for the duration of the competition, and I suppose that's what you want to see. You want to see competitive games week in, week out, and if you could replicate a Munster final atmosphere more often in the championship, that's where it needs to be, I think.
Yeah, we had John T. O'Leary sadly passing there, a great Cork fan. The fans, the characters, who stood out for you guys? Could you see the same kind of faces on the road year after year with the Kingdom and the Rebels?
Yeah, like you'd know the Kerry supporters from the Kerry Supporters Club. They'd go up, travel to every game on the bus. And I suppose in terms of the Cork crowd, like coming out in Fitzgerald Stadium, they had their spots. So whenever you'd run out from the dressing rooms, they'd be up behind you in the terrace. And there was always a huge Cork contingent there. So that's where it was always loudest.
I suppose the Cork fans were probably, we didn't have as many fans following us all the time. I suppose, but you'd notice the faces of some lads would go to training even just to watch training, and I always get slagged. I remember Conor Coonan's first game in charge when we beat Limerick in 08. We got a goal against Limerick last minute or two, and the lads are claiming I ran away celebrating like an aeroplane, but Jonty was actually on the pitch. He was after jumping the fence in the Gaelic grounds, and he was running around the pitch as well. So it's always a fond memory. I always get a slaggy over it. They say I high-fived him. That wasn't true either, but I'll always remember Jonty that day running on the pitch and the pride that him and his buddies had for representing Cork. The bit of Billy Morgan characters, they really love Cork. Jay.
Is the Corkness back, Daniel?
The Corkness back. I don't know how to define Corkness, really. I suppose what you want for Cork footballers and hurlers is to be getting back in All-Ireland semi-finals and finals. And to be fair, I think the footballers are going in the right direction, as I said. And I suppose when Cork are going at their best, as we would have been back in the day, you're playing good football, you have a bit of confidence about you, and you're not afraid of any challenge. And this current group of players, I think they're getting back there the way they represented themselves last year in the Munster final, and the Super 8s, I think that, like, if they can take a step forward from there, I think the future is bright for Cork. And add in the minor and under-21 All-Irelands from last year as well, and I think if that's managed correctly, and as I said, if playing for Cork is your number one priority, I think it's in a good place.
Darren, define Corkness without upsetting Daniel there.
I was there. It's gone. I hope I don't get asked this. I don't know. Daniel's right. When they were playing well, they just had a swagger. Do you know? They just, like, it didn't matter where they were shooting from. When things were going right, it was hard to hold them back. And in fairness to them, no matter if things were going bad, they always had that bit of confidence. They'd have the supporters anyway would always be quick enough to come back with a bit of a slagging there. So Corkness, for me, it's just a bit of inner belief, really. I suppose Cork people love Cork. But like a lot of it is, when things are going well for the footballers, they were always incredibly hard to stop. And as Daniel has mentioned, the danger was coming from so many different players on both sides. And that was the danger of playing Cork. Anyone could shoot the lights out at any stage.
And Darren, just briefly to finish, if you're talking about swagger and talking about carriness, I don't think there's a word, David Clifford is the man.
Yeah, look, it's hard to play it down now at this stage. He's obviously an incredible footballer. I think everyone's seen that. But he's a very level-headed young lad. I think that's the most impressive thing about him. Doesn't seem to faze him. Obviously, it's early days. He's only a couple of years into his career. And hopefully he'll have a long, long career ahead of him. He's cool. He's calm. He's a classy guy. And obviously you have Sean O'Shea there as well with him, another fella. They just seem to be old heads and young shoulders.
Lads, it's been great sports to share your time with us on Off the Ball Saturday and reminisce a little bit about Cork and Kerry, and hope everything works out for you over the next weeks and months. Darren O'Sullivan and Daniel Goulden. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
This is Off the Ball Saturday on News Talk 53106 for your text messages. Back after this.
The Saturday panel on Off the Ball.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.